if you want to make it very vanilla, you can do that too. And that's sort of like what I've made. Like I've made it like where it's pretty chill. Like it's not
pretty like girlfriend experience.
Yeah. Like it's so not like what you see in the movies or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Welcome back to the Slutchpreneur podcast. I'm your host, Anna D, here to empower women to build their own empire and interviewing sluts who like to make money. On my podcast, I give you a peek inside my life as a girl boss, mentor, retired cam girl, viral TikToker, and now 1% OnlyFans creator. I share the ups and downs of running a multi-million-dollar business and the difficult yet sexy path to success. How are you guys doing today? Special episode. Per usual, they're all special. But today you're going to meet Christina, who's a motherfucking escort. And it's been a while. I've been waiting for an escort to reach out to me because this is one of the most critical sides of sex work. It's something a lot of people look down upon, but I think the most beautiful, hardworking, thick skin people I meet in my life have escorted before. So I'm also going to leave some links in the description about safety when being in this line of work, because with this and particularly being face to face with someone that you don't know can be really scary. And I think having resources to know how to screen people, all sorts of things, because things can go south very quickly. And if you haven't joined my Discord or Facebook group, we have a lot of girls in our community that you can talk to and relate to if you feel alone in this industry. The Facebook group is linked in the description of this episode, or you can go to cehose.com. It will direct you to the group. The Discord, you have to get a special link. The links expire. So you can get that link in the Facebook group just by asking any of the mods. So enough of the intro. Let's dive into this episode. I can't wait for you guys to meet Miss Christina. So you reached out to me on OnlyFans. How did you hear about me? Did you find Rebecca Blue on TikTok? That's usually the case.
No, I found you like from word of mouth, actually.
No way.
Girl I know who does it. Yeah, she does a podcast. She said she tried reaching out to you and never heard back. And okay, I was like, well, let me try her.
Maybe afterwards you can let me know and maybe we can spark that up again.
Yeah. No, I didn't know anything about you. And then I found you, just your podcast. And it took me a while to finally find you on TikTok because you'd mentioned TikTok, but you didn't say your name.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I have so many characters that I play and indulge with. I try not to crossbreed them too much. But I'm getting more comfortable as this goes on, as we all are.
Yeah, I got a clue when I saw Mothership. I was like, God, you're so clever with your names.
Oh, thank you. I guess like being, I don't know, there's something like names are really important to me. And that's why I think stage names are, because online there's already so much competition. So you gotta, you know, stand out from the rest from the gate, you know, just with your name.
Yeah, and you said that a lot. Like, if I ever get this really going, I think the first thing I'll do is, like, get a copywriter, because I'm the worst at writing those kinds of texts. Like, I can do everything else better, mm-hmm. like the creative, like, visual things I can do, but writing is, like, the worst for me.
Well, there's so many copywriters out there. And one of my friends, Dalma, she has a podcast called The Panty Selling Podcast. She just started a site. It's called Sex Work Rolodex. I think it's spelled SW Rolodex.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and I'm so interested in it because there's probably copywriters and editors and all sorts of things on there. And I always claim, like, if you're not good at something or don't enjoy it, like, outsource it if you can.
Yeah, if you can, exactly. That'd be the first thing I'd do for sure.
So I see you have a podcast called The Dawn Diaries. You care if I plug it?
No, that's great. I mean, it's very new, so I want as many people to know it as possible for sure.
Yeah, so it says about you, coming from a 12-step background, I've always enjoyed the part that we get to share our truth, but not everyone is from a 12-step group. In fact, I no longer am. This podcast will be based on my life, lives of others will appear, and I speak about me, which will include but not limited to sex work. So it's kind of interesting you drop the sex work at the end.
Yeah, and then I started adding it to other episodes more. So, but that was when I first decided to do the podcast. I didn't think I was going to mention it at all. And then I started kind of improvising. Mm-hmm. And I could not do it without talking about sex work. So I just let it all happen. And now a lot of the episodes are just catered to that. But I think I'm more than that. Not that that's, you know, that's, mm-hmm. you know how it is. Like, you think, like, it's your identity. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I'm not making a lot of sense.
Well, you look back and you're like, when it's happening, it just seems like another day. But then you look back and you're like, oh, my God, that taught me a lot. And that's really interesting. And day-to-day people don't understand that experience. So when you start talking about it and get feedback and people are like proud of you, you're like, oh, I'm kind of, you know, I survived that. And, you know, I got my bag, too.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And I just think that, like, there's girls that have been in 12-step meetings. That I don't know if are you familiar with 12 step by chance?
Is that like Alcoholics Anonymous?
That's the main one. And then there's a like all kinds of like galore of 12 step meetings after AA. Like AA was okay. The founder, and then there was so many that branched from it.
So I did get a DUI when I was 17, and I was kind of forced to do alcohol classes. Yes.
I know all about you. Yeah. I looked into that too. Yeah.
So I had to do the Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was, I mean, I was so young. It was a little scary, like being in there. I don't know if scary is the word, maybe intimidated. So I ended up going next door to the Sex Addict Anonymous and
really?
Felt a little
that was
more
less intimidating. That's cool.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Is there a reason, do you know why that might be? Why that one was less intimidating?
I guess just because I'm so comfortable with my sexuality, and maybe I just wasn't comfortable exposing that I enjoyed taking substances. I always was kind of one of those self-medicators that knew the dose I needed to take and kind of wouldn't go like take advantage of going more than I could handle. Because, you know, back then I was like 100 pounds, 4'11".
Oh, so. Got it.
Little baby. But let's get into the tea. I see you were born and raised in LA, which is pretty cool. And do you care telling what age you were when you started escorting?
At the legal limit.
The legal limit. And honestly, I might know less than a handful of people who have escorted. And I think the public persona is that it's prostitution. How do you feel about that?
Oh, the verbiage never matters to me. I don't care like what you call it, you know.
But why do we look down on that particular side of sex work and not like a webcam model?
See, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, it's hard. Once you've started doing that, it's hard to see the lens of somebody else. Like, I know before I ever started sex work, like how mysterious and unknown it was. And now that I know all about it, I can't see what someone else would compare the two, like mm-hmm. cam modeling and escorting. Like,
do you think it's just because it's physical and not virtual?
Oh, like for me personally, I think camming would be less of a boundary push than escorting, but a lot of hard work. Like, I know that too. So,
well, what's it like? Put yourself back being, you know, 18, and you know, what made you take that step? And like, was it scary, or were you just like, fuck it?
No, it was so scary. Like, I just don't have like a good upbringing to begin with. So I didn't have a whole lot of choices. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are so close to being homeless from just one mistake. Mm-hmm. They don't have like a whole net of like a support system to like carry them through. If God forbid, like there was a hurricane or if there was something has to go wrong like one time for people to be in that situation. And that's what happened to me. Like, I was just in a bad situation and I just decided to do what I knew could make me money. And it was only because someone had talked to me about it. Had someone talked to me about camming first, then I probably would have chosen cam, you know?
Did it just seem like any option at that point you were ready to get out of like a hole you were in?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So who was this guy? Like, was he just a friend or was he someone you trusted?
No, and I still wouldn't to this day trust him because there was a lot of sketchy things that ended up happening between the two of us. I met him through Craigslist. I was looking for like someone to live with and I would pay them some rent. And I remember going to this guy who was a lot older. He had a big old house. And I remember feeling really scared about what he had expectation wise with me.
What were his expectations? Was it a, hey, I'm here to rent? Or like, was it off the bat? Was he like, you know, you need to do some other things for me too?
Yeah. It was like that. So basically, like, I had never escorted in my life. So for me, mentally, the jump from like paying rent with a, living with a guy was weird to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then paying them rent like was weird. Not weird, but just the fact that it wasn't like a regular roommate situation, like let's say a college situation with someone my own age. So that was weird for me. Like, I'm just thinking back, like you said, when I was that age. When I was that age, like living with an older guy was just weird enough. But knowing that he had these weird expectations of like maybe doing more physically, like really weirded me out. And I was like, why isn't the rent enough? Why do I have to do more? And he was like, well, $250 for a bedroom is like nothing to me. Like, and I didn't understand that concept either, because to me that was a lot of money, you know, at the time.
So seeing that as a red flag, did you run for the hills, or you're like, well, this is, again, like this is an option, so I'm kind of blind to what my intuition's telling me?
No, I did kind of like think about it and left. And now going back, maybe like, see, that's the thing. Hindsight is so crazy, because now I think I would have done that instead of what I ended up doing, because it was just one dude and it probably wouldn't have been so bad because he had like this huge mansion. Right. So actually that probably would have been the better choice. But at the time I was so scared that I was like, I don't know. And then I met that guy that I'm telling you about who told me about escorting, and he was like messed up because he sort of like kind of manipulated his way into like getting stuff for like what I would call for free right now. But at the time I thought it was like kind of like proving myself or like showing that I'm a good roommate, or I don't know what it was. It was just weird stuff, right? Like,
yeah. Well, he's like, I need to trust you so I can give you your necessities in a way. Were there other girls around, or was it just you?
It was just me. Yeah. With this guy in particular, he was not a pimp or anything. It was just someone who told me about escorting to begin with.
So he tells you about escorting. How does that conversation go?
He was just saying like how he met a girl the other night, someone I'd never seen in person. And he was saying like how she makes $1.50 an hour. And it didn't sound like a lot of money to me at the time, but he was just sort of like kind of just putting it in my ear, you know, like telling me what it's like and how she had fun coming over and this and that. And how she drives this nice car. Like, I don't know. He would do these things mysteriously. Like, he would tell me, he was kind of like how guys do that when they hook up with like hot chicks. They just have to tell you about it. He did that to me. So he'd be like buddy buddy with me too. And then tell me these stories and give me ideas, because he knew I was in like such a bind.
So would you call that grooming?
I think I would. And then there was a time where I was escorting and we were still friends, and I wanted to move into this apartment complex that required a co-signer, because at that time, like even now, it's hard to prove income, right? So right. I asked him to do it, thinking that he might, not like on a small chance, right? And he's like, oh, you have to do this for me. And so I did, and like nothing ever came of it, you know, like.
So where do the clients come from? Like, does he tell you like how to do it? I mean,
no, he didn't tell me any of that stuff. No. So maybe it wasn't grooming, right? It's like, it's hard to say, right?
I mean, I'm trying to think of any grooming experience. Like when you're in it, it doesn't feel like that. Just like you said, until you process it. And, you know, we even had a review on the podcast where someone suggested that I was glorifying grooming, because when I met my partner, you know, I was younger and he was older, but, you know, we're still together and we're in a really healthy relationship. And I didn't preface at the time, like, it doesn't always work out like that in that situation. And there are older men who've played that game over and over. So when a younger, more naive girl comes along, you know, they just know the ropes to kind of pull her in a little bit. But was this the guy that like got you clients? Like, I'm curious how the client situation happened.
Well, like there was always a weird vibe from the guy. So I distanced myself from him. I was kind of in and out of his life. He was in and out of my life, right? But the whole thing was just kind of like a plug in my head that he left, like an impression, right? But I never like communicated to him that I was planning on doing it, that I was going to do it. He found out on a website and he laughed about it, actually. He laughed about the fact that I had these photos that I just used because they're like the only headshots that I had, that I had used when we first introduced each other on Craigslist, right? Like, send me a photo. You know how people do that with email exchanges. They want to see what you look like, whatever. He was laughing that I had used the same photos. So he was always a weird guy. Like,
but were those photos like you advertising for escorting services?
Yeah. Exactly. So like, what was he doing on those sites, right?
So how did you end up deciding that you were going to advertise yourself, and how did you find those websites?
Oh, well, that I actually have that in my podcast. But basically, I just went to Starbucks and like answered a lot of ads under escorts and Craigslist. You won't see that now because Craigslist is shut down. But like at the time, there was so many agencies that you could respond to at any given day.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you put that ad up. Do you get clicks like instantly or just a ton of emails?
Yeah. Craigslist used to be that way. Like, you get so many responses. Yeah.
So you get an email and it's a potential person you're ready to offer your services for the first time. How did that make you feel and what made you choose him?
Oh, no, it was not that simple. It was never like you could find clients that quickly. It was agencies that I was going for because I didn't know anything about how to get started. So the agencies would set you up with clients. And that's when you first meet the clients, like through them. So
what's the difference between an agency and a pimp?
You know what? The truth is, there is no difference.
Is the agency just more organized?
Yeah.
Okay. So you,
like, they're just as rookie as everybody else, to be honest. Like,
so how do you pick that agency? Was it just like the first one or?
Yeah. Like, it was just like emails that like I responded to and they responded back to me and I would meet with them.
Okay. Where'd you guys meet? And was it like just one person?
Well, it was so many responses that I went to. Like, one, it would be like at a Starbucks. Others would be like at a hotel room. Some would be at a house that they, I don't know if they rent it or some vacant house that was like, yeah, that had rooms with other girls in it.
That's crazy.
So like Eagle Rock in LA. So there's like a lot more space. Like here in New York, it would be like some apartment or something like that. It wouldn't be like a house or anything like that.
So what was the first call like? Like, do you remember it vividly or did you have to like take anything to relax yourself?
No, I always wanted to be stone cold sober because
you never know what's going to happen.
Like, no, just you never know what could happen and you're already freaked out as it is. So it's like you just want to be very alert.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember my first. Maybe I do. It just came to me because I literally couldn't remember who it was. But now I do remember who it was. Yeah. And it went okay. Like, he freaked me out in the beginning. Like, yeah, because I wasn't attracted to him. But like in hindsight, he was probably one of the most attractive guys. That's but you don't know. Like at the time, you think what's attractive is like someone close to your age.
Mm-hmm.
Who, like, I know that sounds weird, but almost sort of looks like you in a way, like where they're your equal, maybe physically. I know that sounds strange and weird and superficial, but like.
No, that's not strange at all. Even at the strip club, it was kind of the opposite for me. Like, I found that the younger, attractive guys wanted more for less than an older gentleman, some sort. You know, they were willing to pay more because they knew they didn't really, you know, money is what they could offer. So I always were drawn to them. So when escorting, did you ever have like an older client who, you know, maybe wasn't your type? Was that like harder to deal with or was it easier?
Like, no, I'm just going back in time though. Like,
yeah.
You asked me my first time, but that's what I was thinking at that time. But now, like, it's totally like what you just said. It's the opposite. Like, I do
not. Isn't that interesting?
I do not like guys my own age. They're the worst to deal with. The more attractive they are, the worse they are. Like, unless you're really lucky, which is very rare. It's like finding like, like a needle in the desert, you know?
So what did you wear? What was your go-to to wear for things like that?
They tell you, like, but I was so young. So I played up on that, which is kind of like the wrong thing to do, to be honest, because they get so sketched out. But like, I was like, you know, the schoolgirl outfit, that was like my go-to.
Interesting. Did you have this like act played out in your head, like start to finish, like how to make it through the hour if it was just only an hour?
No, I was doing it like the way I would normally have sex, like this is like back in the day once again. So like for me to have sex was like being all in, right? And I remember the guy was so like kind of rude, because my hair was all messed up, like tousled, like the way.
Yeah.
But like, that's what normies do, you know, like they don't care what they look like after sex. So that's how I was like. And he's like, aren't you going to la la la, like make yourself up or whatever, or freshen up? And I was like, yeah, of course. You know, I just kind of follow what he tells me to do. And now I like realize, like as an escort, you have to be like picture perfect, like after, like never mess up your, you know, your presentation.
Right.
So civilian. Like, yeah, like it's crazy.
Can you recall anyone you ever met that you had a connection with that you like, well, how about this? Did you ever find someone that quickly turned into a regular, or was it always like a one off kind of John thing?
Well, I have these weird phases throughout my career, quote unquote. And when I was really young, I definitely wanted to not see the same guy again twice. And it doesn't even make sense business-wise at all.
Well, probably it would give you a little bit of anxiety at that age. Like, oh, God, I have to, you know, live up to this expectation again. And what are we going to talk about this time?
That, it was definitely that. And it was also just having to relive or, like, recall the guy. Like, if I didn't like the guy, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. There was something more easier to handle if there was mystery and not knowing who he was, you know, because I, even if I knew it was not going to be any better, like there was still that chance that it could be better than the last time if I didn't know who the person was. And you're right, there is nothing to talk about, like especially when you're young, like you don't want to something about having regulars when you're young, they get tired of you too, because you can't put the act on for too long after that. Like
that makes sense.
It's worn out. But when you get like used to it, you start to enjoy the job more. Mm-hmm. But when you're young, you cannot for your life enjoy it. For your life. At least for me, that's what happened to me. Yeah.
Did you definitely feel yourself putting the character on when you walked into that room? Like, did you really was it like black and white of who you were not in the room versus in the room?
No, no characters. It was just me super nervous, like a scary little kid, and then acting like I loved the sex. And that was it. Like, you know, there was no character though. Like,
what was your sex life pre-escorting?
Pretty non-existent. Like, I lived with a grandma for like a year. And oh my God. Like, I love her to death. But like, living with her was like, it was like.
So that's hard.
Yeah.
So how often were you getting booked? And was it scary going from like not being very sexually active to frequently faking these orgasms and, you know, pretending like you were enjoying what you were doing?
No, thank God I never had to fake orgasms. I don't think that's like the point. They just want you to like what they're doing, you know, like.
Gotcha. So
I don't
it's
think
more
you have to like pretend to do an orgasm or anything like that. You just have to just be down for whatever, you know what I mean?
For whatever they're word?
Yeah, they're not really down for like making you.
Yeah, they don't care about your. But did you ever find yourself in a moment of orgasming, or was that not even your focus?
You know, I never cared. Yeah. Like I like just masturbating by myself. Like that feels good because there's no pressure like as to when it happens. And there's no one staring right at me. Like, I don't like it when people stare at me like too long.
You know? I know. I just like laying like a limp fish, just using my vibrator. No expectations.
I just can't stand the looks that I get. Like, from, like, it's just too much. Like, they get too into it. It's just like enough. Okay. I'm not like a center of attention type of person.
So what's on your OnlyFans? Do you like solo masturbate, or is it other content that you enjoy making?
Yeah, I've put out content, but no one has bought it yet, which totally blows. So all I have on my OnlyFans is like the vanilla stuff, like the sexy dances and the sexy outfits and like lingerie, but like everything that I've put for pay for play, or not, I'm sorry, pay-per-view. I always mess those two slogans up, but anyways.
Well, I'm curious, when you masturbate, do you ever think about the experiences you had escorting?
Yeah, I do, actually. I do, which is really strange. Like, that's very strange.
Well, I think that's how some people cope with traumatic experiences, because I even find myself going through my head of really bad sexual experience I've had, and sometimes I think about them when I'm masturbating, and it's a way for me to like process and gain power over that experience.
Also, what made you come up with that whole realization? Because I would never come up with that on my own like that.
I probably was sharing the experience. The big one was losing my virginity in that aspect, which we all think about. And in my head, because I think as women, we can kind of close our eyes and take ourselves somewhere a little more so than men can. I feel like men need more visual, like porn and whatnot. But I'll create these fantasies in my head of me kind of biting back in that situation and taking my power back. And it turns me on in a way. And I don't know. I don't know if that's healthy. I should probably talk to a therapist about that. But it's just, it comes naturally in that sense, because I'll lay it down with my vibrator and I'm like flipping through the chapters of my spank bank sometimes, and you know, that'll happen. And
don't let spring cleaning fool you. There's always space to add a little extra something in the bedroom. And it's no secret that consuming a little THC can help set the mood. However, getting that right strain and dosage can be difficult. That's why we're thankful for today's sponsor, Viya. Viya has developed a unique blend of pleasure-enhancing cannabinoids, libido-strengthening herbs, and a low dose of THC all into one mind-blowing gummy called High Love. We're talking about pairing aphrodisiac herbs with a mild amount of THC. Their best-selling High Love gummy will awaken your senses, increase blood flow, and intensify any sexual experience. Viya also offers a wide array of other gummies with and without THC. And the best part? Viya legally ships to all 50 states with discreet packaging directly to your door. No medical card required. So if you're 21 and up, you can get 15% off and a free pack of award-winning Dreams THC plus CBN sleep gummies with our exclusive code. Try Viya Hemp with code GODDESS at viyahemp.com. That's viyahemp.com. So when I take out a new toy from my collection and I'm having some, you know, self-love time, I like to really elevate the mood with High Love. When I'm getting aroused, my blood flow is already peaking and the gummies just totally enhance my sensations to the next level. Sometimes after a long day of work, it's just hard to relax, especially if I can't mentally get there. And I feel like us girlies really need to mentally stimulate ourselves when we're trying to orgasm. So personally, chewing a little gummy like High Love sets me in such a mellow, relaxed mood that I can actually focus and enjoy myself and have a well-deserved experience. I also really like that the products range from 2 milligrams to 50 milligrams. Look, I always share my party favors with my friends, and some of them just can't hang all the way sometimes. So I like the low dose so that they can still get a mild effect, especially if you or their body just isn't really accustomed to the ingredients just yet. So I love that you can kind of microdose or enjoy more of the potent effects. So let the gummies work their magic. Head to viahemp.com and use code GODDESS to receive 15% off and one free sample of their Sleepy Dreams gummies. 21 and up only, and that is viahemp.com, viahemp.com, and use code GODDESS at checkout. Take your passion and pleasure to a whole new level with high love from Via Hemp. Now back to the show.
Trust me, it's still strange to me, but what do you, like, why do you think that might happen to you too?
Well, I thought you had talked to a therapist about that because it sounded so insightful. It sounded like you really came to terms with like the reasons behind what you're doing.
I think it must be like self-therapy or like something I probably subconsciously saw on TikTok.
No, but see, that's the thing. Like, my TikTok experience is so limited. Like, I do not know where I would even begin to find these kinds of TikToks. Like, they're so interesting. Every time you bring them up, I'm like, oh, I want to see that. Like,
so with the TikTok algorithm, they can tell what you're watching and what you're constantly going back to and liking, and they'll give you more of that. So I was kind of showing my aunt, you know, she likes to cook, and I was like, you really need to follow these cooking content creators so that TikTok will give you more of it. Or if you want to see animals, like, you have to, on the For You page, like, engage with those TikToks. And my partner will be like, why am I always seeing these, you know, sexy girls doing dances and stuff? I'm like, because that's all you're watching.
Oh, geez. No, duh, right?
Okay. Oh, my God. So I think safety is really important to talk about. Did the agency screen these people, or were you just kind of oblivious to the process and you were just there to make money?
Well, they can't really screen. They claim to be a lot of things, like bodyguards, good screeners. Trust me, they're not any of those things. Like, the minute you get arrested, you're on your own, you know, like, they don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, they're nameless. You don't know their real name. They're not protection. They're just trying to find a reason to like get hired and act like their 50-50 is like completely valid.
So it was 50-50. So if it's 50-50. Like 150 an hour, so it's really 75 an hour.
Yeah, but like, I think the girl that guy was talking about that made 150 an hour, I think she was independent, because agencies, okay. I mean, nowadays, like, there can be really low-end agencies because of the saturated way. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Or where you live.
Depends on where you live. Depends on where you work. Yeah, a lot of things, you know. If you're, like, a foreigner, like, then $100 can seem like a lot of money in your country. But, like, if you don't live here and you're just visiting, like, there's a thing, like, that's kind of screwed up where you get paid what everybody, it's like a, what's it called? A buyer's market. Mm-hmm. So the guy they don't understand like why you might charge more, but it's like, well, maybe it's because my rent's higher than the girl who's just visiting from Mexico. Exactly. Or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
so was an hour like the general time, or did people request like two or three or a freaking whole night?
It really depends. Yeah. All of the above. And there are places that do half hours and stuff and quickies, which I hated, and I never wanted to do any of those things. And I always fought people for that.
So did you ever, like, is a quickie like a blowjob, and do they fucking come in your mouth?
No, that would be just like, no, there's criteria. There's like girlfriend experience. And then there's like porn star experience. What you're talking about would be porn star experience. Like any, yeah. They call it COF, like, come on face or like.
Time to interrupt this episode with a shameless promo for myself. If you guys haven't checked out our merch yet, check out slutrepreneur.com and head over to the merch shop. Whether you want a CEO hat or a Google is my daddy sweater, I've made tons of fun designs for you to express your slutrepreneur self. And as always, use code SLUT on your first purchase to get 10% off. Now let's get back to the show.
I don't realize that, like, that there's such a huge difference between, because I've done camming, right?
Yeah.
When someone hasn't done my side, like, I wonder, like, what's confusing about it? But I realized that not everyone's done every little area of sex work, right? So
right. And honestly, I think I have a nervous laugh sometimes too, because it would make me so nervous. Like, it is easier behind a screen to give someone what they want and have boundaries, because, you know, I have boundaries about if I'm using a toy in my asshole, like, I can't take a big cock in my ass. I can probably take like a little butt plug. So I have a boundary there when I'm filming. So I'm thinking, okay, before you have a session with a guy in person, like, is this already discussed? Or, you know, do you tell the agency, like, hey, I'm not comfortable with anal, for example? I'm just curious how that conversation is to be had.
Well, the girl usually tells you ahead of time, and then the agency will, like, they'll soak it up so hard. Like, if a girl says she's comfortable with, like, let's say anal, like, every ad you'll see on the girl is like, I love backdoor, this and that. Like, they will ride it to the end, you know?
I see.
Yeah, you do have to discuss these things, but, like, if you want to make it very vanilla, you can do that too. And that's sort of like what I've made. Like I've made it like where it's pretty chill. Like, it's not
pretty like girlfriend experience.
Yeah. Like, it's so not like what you see in the movies or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like,
so are condoms just a given?
Definitely for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me. But I don't know what these rumors are about. Like, I mean, I don't know if it's a rumor, but I hear a lot of requests for non-condoms, and I think that's insane for them to even ask. And for,
well, you know how guys are. They're like, it feels better.
That's a weird thing, though, considering who we are. Like, mm-hmm. If we say yes to you, aren't you worried about who else we're saying yes to?
Is anyone getting tested or having papers or anything like that?
No. And, like, that doesn't happen in porn either, supposedly. I heard a lot of things about porn, like, people get all kinds of things in porn. Supposedly they get tested a lot, but like, that's so inaccurate as well. Like,
do you, and I totally agree. The whole industry is a little,
there was a crooked. In California where there was a vote about wearing condoms, and I've never done porn, but I still voted to like have them wear condoms. Nothing to do with my life, but I was still like for that. But the only reason why they did that is just so they could kick out the porn in California. Like, they moved it to Las Vegas now or something, like, at that time. Mm-hmm. Now everything is everywhere, right? But at that time, it was very popular in, like, the Valley in California. Mm-hmm.
Do you recall having a amazing payday, or was there a moment where you were able to get out of the situation you were in or purchase something really lavish? Because, you know, we all think with sex work, the positive is just, you know, having all this money.
Yeah, like, it was cool paying for like a car in cash.
What did the dealership think? I always love that moment when a girl walks in with fucking cash.
No, it was not. I think I would be too scared to do it in a dealership. It was just a private, like,
okay.
No, God, hell no. Like, it was hard doing it to that guy. I didn't even know that guy, you know? But so, guess what? A week later, I wrecked it. And then I had to pay for the repairs, which was, like, basically what I paid. No, not what I paid for the car, but close enough, you know?
Wow.
I remember thinking how proud I was that I could solve the problem so fast, you know?
Right.
Like, just, like, bought the car, fixed the car. And, like, it was, like, nothing because it was, like, the money just came, right?
Right. And you didn't have to, like, ask someone for it and feel less than.
Exactly. Yeah. Even, like, when I first started working, I was still in a mess, like, where I didn't have a place to live. But, like, I remember my car getting towed one night and I could get it the next day, like, no questions asked. Whereas, like, no, but, like, back in college, not college, but even.
Yeah, that would have been a big fucking problem.
It would have been a huge disaster, right? So I remember feeling good even then, like, thinking, oh, like, I can freaking just solve this problem.
Girl, that's me when I park downtown and I don't have quarters. I'm like, fuck it, I'll pay a parking ticket.
Oh, see, I wouldn't do it by choice, but yeah, like, nice feeling, isn't it? Like, damn.
So did grandma ever figure out what was going on, or is...
No, I had moved out by then. Like, she had no idea. Like,
does anyone in your circle know about these experiences?
No, they just know the title.
Okay.
I know everyone's different with that. It's either like, I don't give a fuck, my family loves me, or it's like they've disowned me, or, they're trying.
That's crazy.
It is.
So are you still escorting? What's, how long has it been since you started and what's happening now?
It's just so chill now. And yes, the answer is yes. And it's just so much better. And it doesn't feel like any different than just having friends that you sleep with. You know what I mean?
So are you freelancing and have regulars?
Yeah.
What's the best part of it now, looking back, like now versus then?
That they are like, they're not really my friends. Like, I know in a crisis they wouldn't be there for me or anything like that, but they're friendly and it's friendly. Like, whereas before I could not like make that connection. Like I said, like, I just wanted to distance myself and never see them again. Mm-hmm. Like it couldn't feel real in that way. Whereas now it just feels very chill and very friendly, you know?
Do you have a screening process?
Oh yeah, now I do. Like before I relied on those guys. I just relied on experience. And now that I have the experience, like, I know what I'm doing. So yeah.
What tips would you say, as far as screening goes? Like, do you ask for their ID? Do you do any like website hunting?
Yeah. You do some research online of them when you have their names and everything. And there's websites, to look up numbers. If the number, comes out like they're shady, like definitely mm-hmm. just any red flag, basically anything. Like you can never be too cautious. Like if it's just a bad vibe and everything else looks good, it's not worth it. Like, it's just not,
Do you ever have like a friend like wait down the street, or have you ever had someone like check in on you, or do you give someone your location?
Well, no, because it's where I live now. So it doesn't matter. Like, everybody knows that I'm here. So.
Okay. So I'm curious, have you ever had like a bad gut wrenching experience? Cause it seems like it's been pretty peachy.
Oh, well, no, but that's how I've learned. That's how I made it peachy, is learning the bad experiences. Okay. Right. Like, yeah, there have been a lot of weird moments, like where I just have a lot of regret, like shouldn't have gone to that call. Shouldn't have seen that person.
Do you care to share any of that? I know it can be difficult sometimes.
No, it is difficult, but only because nothing comes to mind. I just know that I have a lot of them.
Do you think you blacked it out in a way?
Just maybe because it's on the spot. But like, yeah, I recall them all the time. Like when I'm just doing errands or something, like I'll think about those things, like.
May I ask if it had to do with like non-consensual situations?
Oh yes, of course. Those are the worst. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. That's so fucked up.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm sorry for everybody who has to deal with that,
So now you're in New York City. I'm curious how that is with like the COVID situation. I heard that it was just bonkers there at the beginning.
I mean, from my day-to-day, it wasn't, but I know that there's a lot of people who panicked big time.
I guess, is there any, like, COVID protocol with seeing people, or is it just, like, you take your chances?
Well, I mean, I'm more the conspiracy theory type, even though I don't like the label, but it is what it is. I don't really buy into the whole COVID thing. Like, I think, like, death is part of life,
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's sad about the deaths, but there's a lot of, like, child trafficking that doesn't get put out there, and like those numbers, we don't know. There's a lot of missing children every year.
My biggest question mark is, okay, cars can drive themselves. So why are we still, I think car wrecks are one of the biggest reasons for
deaths, right?
Death. Yeah. That's still like a big problem for me. It's like, that's just the one thing. So simple.
Yeah, but you gotta be careful with those cars that can drive you, because mm-hmm. you get to a point where you're only allowed to drive to work and back or something like that. Like, you never know with technology, like, where it can lead. Like,
yep, two sides to every story.
You're giving up more rights, yeah.
So now I see that you're on OnlyFans. Did that just start?
Yeah, I'm very new to it because it's hard to figure out. Like, I don't know, like, if I'm supposed to give it all away, because, like I said, every time I put up, like, the pay-per-view ones, I get nothing. And then the content that I have on my feed is something you could still see. You won't see it on my like regular social media, but you'll see it on a lot of girls. Like, you know, like half naked, like you can see that pretty much anywhere. So that's probably why, like, I'm not really understanding like how I should frame it.
Do you mind if I give you a quick little overview of your OnlyFans?
Yeah, cool. Let's do it.
So this is just first impression, just flying off. So your bio says exclusive videos, hot content, fetish model, sexy videos. So to me, that's a very basic phrase. Like if you're on OnlyFans, we already know that it's hot and exclusive. So I think having a phrase right there that explains why you're different and why someone should sub to you is really important. So that would be my first thing. Secondly, I think $22 a month is a little pricey for the market we're in. I think $9.99 is a good starting point for when you're new. Because myself, you know, I have a $20 a month thing, but I have, you know, a million followers on TikTok. So that's kind of saying, hey, you get the exclusivity to more of like a celebrity type. Not saying I'm a celebrity, but as far as TikTok goes, there's a lot of people who want to see their favorite people on TikTok naked. So that would be my second thing. And lastly, girl, you got 4 posts. No one's going to subscribe until you have at least 50 things up there. So whether it's just pictures of yourself or some quick videos, you know, put a ton of, you know, forget the pay-per-view right now, like focus on connecting and getting subscribers and talking to them and maybe doing some voice memos. But I think having more record of posting is going to show people who subscribe like, oh, she's active. She has content. She's just not here to like take the bag and run. So that would be my kind of overview of that page if you're feeling frustrated, like you said.
Totally. Yeah. No, you know, I know it says 4 posts now, but I did that option where you can mm-hmm. post something for 3 days and then it comes off, seeing if someone likes it or tips you or whatever. It's just a lot of experimentation mm-hmm. when you don't know what you're doing, right? Like,
no, well, experimenting is the most important thing because then you're learning what to do and what not to do. But don't focus on posts that expire right now, because if you only have a few subs, how are you going to tell what's a really good post and what's not? I think that focus comes later.
Yeah. Well, I did hear your podcast for these kinds of tips. Like I'm thinking about doing that $0 thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then adding the blurry photos on your feed, like,
well, there you go. Yeah. Have a free account. And then,
yeah, that was my next move, you know, because of you, well, you're the one who talked.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'll be honest. You know, I have a free account. Let's see.
You have more than one.
Yes. You can connect your paid account to your free account. So if you go to settings, profile, subscription, account. Let's try account. Yeah. So you go to account and then connected accounts, connect another OnlyFans account. So that way, just really quickly, if people come to your free account and your opening message to them, you can explain like, hey, so happy you're here. If you want longer videos, more exclusive, check out my paid account too. So then vice versa on your paid account, you frequently remind people like, hey, by the way, I have 150 videos on my free account. They're all pay-per-view on my wall, but people come to my paid account all the time and I don't have all those long cum shows on my wall because on your paid account, they're all free on your wall. So I'm like, oh, if you want a long foot video, like go to my free page. There's tons of videos that are pay-per-view and then you can kind of shop there what I already have. But I'm not going to lie, my paid account is making more money. It's generating more income than my free account is right now. Granted, I have 16,000 subs on my free account, but it's making less money because of that entry fee. So I think it's just important to have your eggs in 2 baskets. You know, it's 2 streams of income versus not even allowing yourself to have a second stream. You know, that's your hurdle you're putting up in front of yourself. Sorry, that was a lot longer.
Really cool what you said. I didn't know that you could add another account link to this account. Yeah. But what about your content is the same, is what you're saying? It's the same?
So perfect example. Let's say I do a 5-minute cum show. What I'm going to do when I edit that 5 minute cum show, I'm going to do like a 10 second clip as a preview. So
on your free page, right?
Yep. So on my free page, I show the preview and I say, hey, you can pay $50 for it here. Or if you subscribe to my exclusive page, you'll get it half price. So I'm posting the content in both places. You can pay for it if you want it on my free page, or you can sub to my paid page and get everything a whole lot cheaper. So that's kind of like a suggestion of posting both content on the same place. Another quick suggestion, say you just take a booty pic, a little panty pic. Sometimes I'll post it on my wall, on my free page, but I'll go to my private page and I'll private message it to everyone and make it a lot more personal, maybe add like a nude with it as well, because it's important to do mass private messages. It's the only way to make your subs feel like you care about them. And it's more than just guys coming. They want to feel like you want them to come for you.
Right, got it.
You know about that.
You're so funny. Oh my gosh.
I love talking about cum. So tell me, my biggest question is, what do you have to tell the baby sluts who are wannabe escorts, of course, legally and consensually, but what advice would you give the newbies who are wanting or just started to do things in person?
Well, it's never legal if it's escorting, but I'm not really like always agreeing with what the law does, you know, like the law is so weird.
Well, on my sugar baby episode, we said how it's funny that seeking arrangements is legal because you're just paying for company. You know, it's no different than escorting for the most part.
Yeah, but seeking arrangements is so sketched. Like there's so many guys out there that don't want to pay for your time. Like they're just, I don't know. I don't even know why they're there, to be honest. Probably because they think someone's desperate and like needs money and they can like get you when you're vulnerable. I don't know, to be honest.
Well, everyone has their price.
What do you mean?
I guess for the girls, you know, some girls will take less than others. So if there's guys on there that are wanting more for less, like you said, they'll probably find someone that's vulnerable and will take that line that they cast.
No, there's some crazy stuff that's happened from those kinds of sites, like where there was like, I'll tell you one of my stories and I'll tell you a story about another girl, right? So my story is is not that bad. This guy just picked me up, he drove me around, asked me some questions, and then decided that he wasn't gonna take advantage of me. Like the plan was he was gonna take me to a bar like on the east side to get me wasted and then like take advantage. But then he realized like I was like a nice girl. I don't know what changed his mind, but he's like, okay, I'm dropping you off. And I'm like, what do you mean dropping him off? Aren't we going to go out? And he's like, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? And of course I say no to these things, but it was like a huge waste of time to like get ready for this guy. Yeah. And it was like a date. And then
he should have paid you for your fucking time. Jeez.
But they never want that. It's weird. Like I always request for that. Like, okay, if you want to see me, like bring an envelope, like a gift, you know? And they're always,
do you like the money up front?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I never bother with these sites. But like this girl, she did it. And this guy, she was at his apartment. Right. And he just shows her like this wad of money, like a huge pile. Right. And, you know, kind of like kind of says, oh, like you could have all this if you do this. She goes through with it. And then he changes his mind, like saying that the sex wasn't good enough.
Oh God.
Like, isn't that terrible? Like, but like he was never planning on doing it. He was just sort of like luring her or like whatever it was. It was like some sort of bait thing, right? Like.
That's so sketchy.
Very sketchy. Very
hurts
sketchy.
My heart.
And I've heard a lot of stuff similar to those things, like in these sites. Like, I think it's for girls who are too scared to escort. So they'll go on these sites thinking it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally worse than escorting. You know?
Yeah, it is a little more glamorized, the sugaring, and you know, I relate
it's not
it to
real,
girls.
But it's not real unless you're lucky or something, you know?
Yeah, and I relate that to girls who just want to do feet pics. You know, it's such a market, kind of how sugaring is, that it's a lot more difficult. You'll quickly to realize, like, you know, you gotta do a little more to compete, but that doesn't take away from the foot models who are doing exceptional, because that's their niche and that they know how to hype that up. So yeah, maybe
like
the there's
the thing you're talking about, like that's crazy. Like, cause you do
the food thing.
Yeah. You have to spend money on those things to like make the ramen. Right. And like make the, mm-hmm. or use a peanut butter jar, like you said, right. For the feet stuff. Like,
yeah, you can definitely, you know, there's like bug squishing and lotioning them up and a whole array of fetishes, as you know. So it's a deep, dark rabbit hole. And, you know, the girls who are confident and not giving a fuck, like, you know, some guys will pee in your mouth or your butthole. And if, you know, it's just money can be mesmerizing, but I would never judge someone for what they decide to do with their life. You know, it's their body, it's their choice. And I just hope that, you know, it's just hard to say, like, I hope these bad things don't happen because they will, but it's important to be as safe as you can and learn what resources you have to use to try and avoid, a bad client.
Yeah. Or a bad experience. Right. Like, so like if I were to give advice, like the number one thing is just like really listen to yourself, like your intuition, mm-hmm. you know, like I think it's the thing that speaks first anyways, and everything else would just be like noise. Like it's your intellect mm-hmm. that takes over and it's like to rationalize and say, this guy looks rich. He's got a nice place. Like that's all talk jabber, but whatever came first is like is your intuition telling you.
100%. Well, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs?
Okay, so it depends on who it is, but if it's OnlyFans, it'll be onlyfans.com/Christina with a K XXOO. And then you mentioned my podcast, which is actually with my actual name, Dawn.
Okay.
So the Dawn Diaries.
Diaries.
And that's on, so far it's on the Google platform, Spotify. It's not on Apple yet. I don't know what's taking forever, but yeah, it's not there yet. It's on YouTube as well.
Okay.
And then I'm also on Instagram with my actual name, and I have all the link tree tied to like TikToks and everything else. And that's Dawn MFL, which is basically my middle name and my first two letters of my last name because I couldn't think of another.
It's like Dawn motherfucker.
Yeah. People thought it was Dawn motherfucking life. It's like, no, it's just MFL. Like, no.
Well, I will leave your link tree in the description of this episode so everyone can go subscribe to your new OnlyFans and say hello. But I just want to say thank you for opening up about this part of your life. I know it's not the easiest sometimes, but it's reality. And it's a shame that society and the world thinks this is just something we can't talk about. But here we're going to fucking talk about it. So thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. We'll see you guys on the next episode. Bye-bye.